Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Tonight, breaking news reports two Americans missing feared captured by Russia. Their families back home here in the U.S. believe the veterans were fighting for Ukraine. Also tonight, the tornado just touching down. The watches and warnings up tonight, several states, and the largest interest rate hike in 28 years. Tonight, what this means for you at home, with the Fed raising interest rates 0.75%. Credit cards, car loans, and new mortgages all costing more. Tonight, President Biden and what he's asking of the oil companies now on gas prices. Rebecca Jarvis standing by. The reports coming in on those two American veterans missing, feared captured by Russian forces, possibly near Kharkiv. Their families waiting for word back here at home tonight. The State Department now responding, and James Longman with late reporting from Ukraine tonight. The new images coming in of the historic flooding and now the damage at Yellowstone National Park. 10,000 people forced to evacuate. Cars narrowly escaping rising waters. And just in tonight, a confirmed tornado touching down in Wisconsin. At this hour, the tornado watches and warnings in effect across several states. And of course, the record-breaking heat. Nearly 130 million Americans on alert tonight for potentially life-threatening heat. Rob Marciano standing by tracking it all. News on COVID tonight and the youngest of children tonight. An FDA panel now giving the green light for both the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines for children under five, as young as 6 months, how they work, how many shots, and this could begin within days. And the other headline tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci testing positive now on Paxlovid. We do have news on his symptoms tonight. Tomorrow brings the third January 6th hearing in front of the American people, the pressure on Mike Pence. Tonight, ABC News obtaining exclusive images of the former vice president and his family on January 6th. The VP, his wife and daughter, sheltering in the Capitol just minutes after being evacuated from the Senate floor. The rioters chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." John Carl standing by with the never-before-seen photos tonight. In Buffalo, New York, the images today as the Justice Department now files federal hate crimes charges against the alleged gunman accused in the racist killings of 10 black people at that Tops Market. And tonight, the description from prosecutors of the chilling scene inside that store, what we had not heard before. And tonight, the Republican Senate candidate in Georgia, Herschel Walker, a vocal critic of absentee fathers, now acknowledging he has a 10-year-old he did not raise. There's also news coming in tonight on John Hinckley Jr. and Dolly Parton and what she's now done tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. We have several breaking stories as we come on the air tonight. Reports of those two Americans missing, feared captured by Russia tonight. Their families back here at home waiting for word. James Longman standing by from Ukraine. Also, that tornado touching down late today. But we are going to begin with this move by the Federal Reserve tonight. The biggest interest rate increase in 28 years since 1994, signaling there will be more ahead as the Fed tries to slow down inflation, the rising costs, while at the same time trying to avoid a recession. The Fed raising its key short-term interest rates by 0.75%, the most in nearly three decades. That higher interest rate will be felt by Americans, their rates on credit cards, on car loans, on new mortgages. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell defending the move today, hoping for a, quote, soft landing, slowing inflation, he hopes, without triggering a recession. But Powell also saying the central bank cannot control much of what's driving inflation, global supply chain issues with COVID and the war in Ukraine, and the effects on oil prices globally and here at home. President Biden tonight sending a letter to the major oil companies today, pushing them not to worsen the pain and trying to get them to produce more. Tonight, how this new move from the Fed will affect American families immediately. ABC's chief business and economics correspondent Rebecca Jarvis leading us off.
Tonight, with Americans facing historic inflation and record high gas prices, the Federal Reserve increasing interest rates by 0.75%, the largest hike since 1994.
We're strongly committed to bringing inflation back down and we're moving expeditiously to do so.
The Fed's aggressive move meant to help stabilize prices will also make it more expensive to borrow money. Everything from new credit cards, where the average APR just topped 20% for the first time ever, to car loans, to mortgage rates, which are already climbing from 3% in January to more than 6% now.
The cost of homeownership has gone up at the same time that rental rates are rising as well.
In real terms, that means the monthly mortgage payment on a $450,000 home has jumped from roughly $1,500 in January to nearly $2,200 today. Alyssa Isaacs and Drew Anderson in Wichita know this firsthand as they try to buy a home.
We weren't particularly happy with the rate we got, but the rates have gone up since then.
As for those record oil and gas prices, President Biden sending a letter to executives of seven major oil companies warning them he's considering invoking emergency powers to boost refinery output. Warning, profit margins well above normal being passed directly onto American families are not acceptable. But U.S. refineries are already currently running near full capacity. The White House today pressed on what the letters actually mean, offering few specifics.
We are calling on them to do the right thing, to be patriots here, and not to use the war as an excuse or as a reason to not put out production.
And Rebecca Jarvis back with us tonight. And of course, Rebecca, the Fed signaling today this so-called a soft landing. That's what they're hoping for, trying to slow down inflation, slow down these rising prices, while at the same time trying not to plunge the U.S. into recession. But you and I have been talking about this. This is certainly not guaranteed.
Oh, it isn't, David. And the odds of a recession are rising. It's something we've said before, and it continues to be the case. Look, this inflation, the depths and the scale of it, was caught off guard, the Federal Reserve, as well as this administration. And a number of economists believe that they failed to act soon enough. Moody's Analytics putting out a note tonight saying the Fed could be facing a very difficult decision ahead, whether to plunge the economy into a mild recession in order to tame inflation, or wait and face an even more significant recession. David?
American families waiting for these decisions and how they'll affect them moving forward. Rebecca, thank you. Now to the other breaking headline late today in the war in Ukraine. The reports tonight of two American veterans missing, feared captured by Russian forces, possibly near Kharkiv. Their families back here in the U.S. waiting for word tonight, and the State Department now responding. Our foreign correspondent, James Longman, with late reporting from inside Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, the families of two American veterans gone missing in Ukraine have asked U.S. lawmakers to help find them. It comes as reports surface that two Americans fighting for the Ukrainians have been captured by Russian forces near Kharkiv in the northeastern part of the country. The men, Alexander Druki, who's 39, and Andy Huynh, 27, were reportedly serving as volunteers with the Ukrainian army outfit. The U.S. State Department says they're aware of unconfirmed reports and are closely monitoring the situation.
If it's true, we'll do everything we can to get them safely back home.
The two men were said to be U.S. military veterans serving as volunteers with the Ukrainian Army Unit. Other Westerners have been taken prisoner during this war, including two from the U.K., who were sentenced to death by Russian-backed separatists after they accused them of being mercenaries. This comes as President Biden announced the biggest single U.S. military aid commitment to date after speaking with Ukrainian President Zelensky today. $1 billion in new equipment, including howitzers, ammunition for rocket systems, and for the first time, American Harpoon anti-ship missile systems.
And David, the U.S. has confirmed that the first 60 Ukrainians have now completed their training on those American advanced missile systems. They're expected to be here in Ukraine in the next 2 weeks. David.
All right, James Longman in Ukraine tonight. James, thank you. Back here at home into the extreme weather tonight, record-breaking and what authorities are calling life-threatening heat. Also, the tornado that just touched down and the major damage now seen tonight at Yellowstone National Park. Days of heavy rain and a rapid snowmelt swamping Yellowstone and neighboring towns. 10,000 people forced to evacuate Yellowstone. So damaged now, parts of the park may be closed for the entire season. Montana National Guard helicopters rescuing dozens who were trapped. And tonight, the new concern, there is still about a foot of snow on the mountains, and with more heat now coming, the areas below bracing yet again. ABC's Will Carr at Yellowstone.
Tonight, with water levels dropping, we're seeing the trail of destruction after historic flooding wreaked havoc on Yellowstone National Park and the surrounding area.
The floodwaters ate away at the banks of the Yellowstone River. There was a house at the end of this road. Today, you can see the road has been washed away and the house is gone.
New images capturing that harrowing moment. The house teetering on the edge, then crashing into the river, washing 5 miles downstream.
That's the whole house.
And hitting this bridge. Yellowstone River swelling to nearly 14 feet, the highest ever recorded after days of heavy rain and unseasonably warm temperatures that rapidly melted snowpack.
The landscape literally and figuratively has changed dramatically in the last 36 hours.
Tonight, the town of Gardner ordered not to drink the water after a sewer pipe was compromised and a water main broke. This water plant in Billings, Montana, shut down due to flooding. It comes as Yellowstone's immediate future is in jeopardy. 10,000 visitors forced to evacuate, cars narrowly escaping rising waters on the last road out. The northern part of Yellowstone Park closed indefinitely. Businesses in Gardner, the northern gateway to the park, now wondering how they'll survive.
It's going to be a crazy summer. Well, not crazy summer, unfortunately. I think the financial impact is going to be enormous.
David, tonight the rain is gone, but it's supposed to get a lot warmer here in the coming days. There's still more than a foot of snow in the surrounding mountains, and as it gets hotter, there's real concern here that there could be more flooding over the next week. David.
Of course, the power of the water there already. Will Carr, thanks to you again tonight. Meanwhile, nearly 130 million Americans remain under those alerts for record-breaking heat. And again, what authorities are warning is life-threatening heat and very early in the season. From Texas to the Great Lakes to the southeast, and then late today, that tornado touching down in Wisconsin. Watches and warnings in several states. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Wisconsin tonight, and of course, he's tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. You can see the dark clouds now moving over the Capitol. These are tornado-warned storms. Much of the state is under a watch. Here's where all those storms line up along I-35. Multiple warnings out right now. The watch extends, and the next couple of hours are going to be very, very dicey. Already has some damage reported. That's not the only spot. From the Florida Panhandle all the way up through central Pennsylvania, storms possible there tonight, and they'll be focused across the northeast tomorrow. This is due in part because of the extreme heat. Milwaukee just down the road, the highest heat index since 1948. Look at Georgia, warning up there through the Ohio River Valley. And through Chicago as well. Tomorrow's numbers are no better, more focused to the south. St. Louis 107, going to feel like 106 in Little Rock. This is for sure dangerous heat. David?
Rob Marciano, our thanks to you again tonight. We're going to turn out of COVID in the meantime, and news parents have been waiting for many months across this country. Just a short time ago, in fact, an FDA advisory panel now giving the go-ahead. They're now recommending emergency use authorization for both the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines for children under five, as young as 6 months, in fact. This is the final group still ineligible right now for vaccine protection from the virus. The CDC now expected to follow suit along with the FDA. So how will these vaccines work? How many shots? How small is the dosage for these children? And how soon could these shots roll out? Here's Whit Johnson tonight.
Tonight, an FDA panel voting unanimously to give COVID vaccines the green light for children under five.
The vote is unanimous. We have 21 out of 21 yes votes.
The FDA says both vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna appeared safe and effective, despite mild symptoms like irritability and fever.
Does the benefit outweigh the risk of this vaccine? And I think that the evidence is pretty clear.
Pfizer's vaccine, a three-shot series, is one-tenth the size of the adult dose. The company's early data showed it was 80% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID. Moderna's vaccine, only two shots, is a quarter of the size of the adult dose. Early data showed it was about 40 to 50% effective at preventing mild infections. But experts caution those numbers are based on small samples. Both vaccines generated antibody levels against Omicron similar to those seen in adults, meaning they will likely also offer protection against severe disease.
We should be paying attention also to the antibody response and how well these vaccines protect against severe illness and hospitalization.
With the sign-off from the full FDA and the CDC expected within days, we could see shots going into arms as early as next Tuesday.
And David, tonight we're learning Dr. Anthony Fauci has tested positive for COVID. We're told the 81-year-old is experiencing mild symptoms and he's being treated with the antiviral drug Paxlovid. He's fully vaccinated and double boosted. He was also seen over the weekend at an event being honored by his alma mater, Holy Cross. But still, Dr. Fauci is scheduled to testify before a Senate committee tomorrow. David.
We wish him a quick recovery. Whit, thank you. Tomorrow brings the third hearing before the American people from the January 6th committee and their findings. Tomorrow, the focus will be the pressure on former Vice President Mike Pence to block the certification of the election. And tonight here, ABC News with exclusive images of Pence after he was rushed from the Senate floor with his family, his wife Karen Pence, their daughter sitting on the sofa there, many pointing out the concern on her face. Of course, all of this as rioters were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." Tomorrow, many closest to the former vice president will testify before the American people. Jonathan Carl tonight with those exclusive images right here.
Tonight, ABC News has obtained photos of former Vice President Mike Pence and his family sheltering in the Capitol. This one taken just minutes after he was evacuated from the Senate floor on January 6th. You can see the fear in his daughter's face, his brother looking on as Second Lady Karen Pence draws the curtains closed, worried the rioters outside could see where they were. Some of the mob was chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," and had already breached the building. Minutes later, Pence and his family were rushed downstairs, taken to a loading dock beneath the Capitol complex, tweeting these photos that night after the mob was cleared. Finally, this picture, Pence, after the riot, back in the Capitol with his daughter, working on the speech he would soon give when Congress reconvened to certify Joe Biden's election victory.
To those who wreaked havoc in our Capitol today, you did not win. Violence never wins. Freedom wins. And this is still the people's house.
Pence himself will not be testifying at tomorrow's January 6th committee hearing, but we will hear from some of his top advisors in both live and taped testimony. They worried for his life as the mob invaded the Capitol and Donald Trump was back at the White House watching it all on television unfold. As for Pence himself, he actually has an event. He's got a speech, David, tomorrow in Ohio while the committee will be looking at this massive pressure campaign that he was under on January 6th.
Yeah, you could actually see Karen Pence closing the curtain there in that image, John. Yes. John, thank you. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. here on ABC. In the meantime, to Buffalo tonight, and federal hate crimes charges have now been filed against the 18-year-old accused in the racist killings at that top supermarket. And tonight here, Pierre Thomas with the description from prosecutors of the chilling scene inside that store, what we had not heard before.
Attorney General Merrick Garland laying flowers at that makeshift memorial at the scene of the Buffalo grocery store massacre, today officially declaring it an unmitigated, intentional act of hate-based murder.
No one in this country should have to bury a loved one because of such hate.
Prosecutors flatly saying today 18-year-old Peyton Gendron's goal was to kill as many blacks as possible, charging him with 26 counts of hate crimes and weapons violations. An unsealed affidavit describes Gendron's calculated planning of his seeking the highest chance of success when he went on a shooting spree at the local supermarket. The new charges lay out how he selected the top supermarket because of its high percentage of black people, that he scouted the location several times, making a map of its interior. One chilling scene from the massacre says it all.
At one point, he aimed his rifle at a white male TOPS employee who had been shot in the leg and injured. Instead of shooting the white employee, the gunman apologized to him before continuing his attack.
David, while there's a Justice Department moratorium on federal executions, today the AG pointedly did not answer the question when pressed on whether he would seek the death penalty in this case. David?
All right, Pierre, thank you. Now to the Republican Senate candidate in Georgia, Herschel Walker, a vocal critic of absentee fathers, tonight now acknowledging he has a 10-year-old he did not raise. Steve Osunsami from Georgia.
Let me hear Herschel Walker!
For years, he has repeatedly criticized black men who leave their children. But tonight, Georgia's Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, Herschel Walker, is admitting that he has a 10-year-old son who he didn't raise. Court documents show that the boy's mother had to sue him for paternity and child support in 2013.
Even if you have to leave that woman, you don't leave the child.
So Herschel, please say a few words.
Walker, who is running with the strong support of former President Donald Trump, regularly complains about absent black fathers.
The problem we have is we're going back to this mentality that the father leaves in the black family. He leaves and leaves the boys alone, so they'll be raised by the mom.
In a statement tonight, Walker's campaign says he had a child years ago when he wasn't married and that he supported the child and continues to do so. The Heisman Trophy winner won the hearts of Georgians during his college football days. He won the Republican primary last month with nearly 70% of the vote, despite allegations over past domestic violence and his struggle with multiple personalities. He was recently caught lying about graduating from college and working in law enforcement. In November, he faces the sitting senator, Democrat Raphael Warnock.
Walker's campaign points out that his opponent, the sitting senator, is currently in a bitter fight with his ex-wife over their child custody arrangement. But Senator Warnock's people today say what's different in his case is that he's always been a devoted father. David?
Steve, thank you. When we come back tonight, news on the man who shot and injured Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., and then later hear what Dolly Parton has now done tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, John Hinckley Jr. is officially free. The man who shot and wounded President Reagan in 1981 was released from court oversight today, ending decades of supervision. Acquitted by reason of insanity, he spent decades in mental health facilities. To the index of that new driver-assisted technology has now been linked to nearly 400 crashes in less than a year. Government safety officials say 273 of those crashes involved Teslas, which feature the autopilot system. This is the first large-scale study looking at the safety of these systems. A final note on Dolly Parton's gift, donating $1 million for pediatric infectious disease research at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, saying, "I love all children. No child should ever have to suffer. I'm willing to do my part." We love Dolly.